Welcome to GVC Unplugged, a podcast made by employees for employees. Hear interviews and discussions with coworkers, stay informed about GVC news and projects, and catch up on the latest news and happenings at the co-op, and more. Let's get started.
Good morning, GVC team. Thanks for tuning in to GVC's Unplugged podcast. Today, you've got me, Sean Alvarez, the COO, dedicating a very special episode to all of you mothers out there today. So today, I'm joined with none other than my own mother, Miss Billy Alvarez. So, Mom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Sean.
That is fantastic. I'm glad that you're joining us today for this Mother's Day episode. Every year in May, we take a day to recognize all of the mothers that are out there. And so it's good to kind of just live the aspects of how all of these mothers have impacted our lives. And so I wanted to spend a little time with you today. So a couple of things. One, people could get to know maybe me a little better, but probably understand why I am who I am by hearing some stories from you. So I appreciate you taking time out of your day and wanted to say thank you on the front end of that. So, Mom, I thought it'd be fun to take a trip down memory lane. So I hope you're prepared for that. I know we've had some conversations of the things that you're not allowed to say. So I would appreciate you leaving those out. You ready to get this thing going?
So your job's not in jeopardy?
Well, it could be depending on what you say. So let's keep it very, very clean if possible.
Okay.
Great. Let's jump right into this. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
I think I'm ready to go. All right. So I'm going to kick it off by hopefully, you know, this is going to be a fun episode for everybody listening to. But, you know, not every story is just this, you know, great Cinderella story. And so I know, Mom, some people know this about me, but, you know, you and Dad got divorced at a very young age when Nikki and I, and Nikki's my sister, when we were very young. So I guess let's talk a little bit about that and kind of how that impacted you and how difficult it was for you raising two very small children at such a young age in your life.
It was a very difficult time. We lived in Amarillo. So I don't know if people know that you and your sister were born in Amarillo. And we lived there and I had a fantastic job at the light company in Amarillo. And things didn't work out too good, and it was tough when Sean's dad decided to leave. So then things weren't going too well for me. So my parents, living down here, decided I needed to come home. So I gave up a very good job and left Amarillo and moved to Schertz, Texas.
So you brought us back home, huh? Brought you back home
kind
where maybe and Papa
home.
Were at the time.
That's right. If it hadn't have been for my parents, my dad flat said, either come home or I'm coming after you. So I needed my family more than I needed his dad.
Elaborate on that a little bit. So raising two very, very small kids, I think at the time I was one, less than a year old, and Nick was two and a half. So talk about how challenging that is.
It was hard. It was very hard. When you have two young ones and then you're coming to a town that I've never lived down in Schertz. I was raised in Waco, Texas. And so coming here and having to find a new job when I gave up a good job in Amarillo and supporting two kids, it was tough. And the really good place in this area to work is USAA, but the hours would have been very rough. I would have left in the morning while the kids were still asleep and come home at night when they're still asleep. So I had to give that up. So I ended up working two jobs at times, and my parents stepped in and helped out, were always there for my kids. And it was rough. There were times that it was really rough, but I went to work for a bank and I always wanted to be in banking and I loved that job. So eventually things work out, but we got by. We didn't do without. So there were times that you weren't sure if you were going to have food on the table, but Mom and Dad were always there. So things worked out great. It just ended up being a fantastic place for us to live and it couldn't have been a better thing. I think living down here, leaving Amarillo was the best thing for me because I left it all behind me.
And I think that's very, very good. And I think it kind of fits, you know, in line with, you know, the whole Mother's Day podcast here, right? You helped kind of develop me and who I am. And, you know, it's that drive and that work ethic that I watched you, you know, over the years trying to be a mother, but also be an earner, you know, and trying to support your family and taking care of us, you know. So I think that has developed me a lot and, you know, made me who I am along with, you know, Nikki as well. But not only that, I mean, it's fitting because, you know, your mother was part of that as well. And Mimi helped raise us and take care of us and support you during the times when you really needed. And I know your mother means a lot to you. So I appreciate you sharing that, you know, part of the story and everybody tolerating that in the beginning. But I think it's important to understand a little bit about our family history. So let's kind of break the ice and let's turn it into something that's a little more fun to talk about. So I guess, you know, I'm assuming you have some really funny stories that have obviously been vetted and approved by me to share with the GDEC team about me as a child. So maybe you could tell one or two really funny stories about things that I did as a kid that,
oh my goodness,
really kind of kept
you up at night. If you only knew this child back then, there were days that you would sit and go, I can't believe he's the same person. But in some ways, I have to give a lot of credit for Sean by his sister, because basically his sister, they're just 2.5 years difference in them. And she basically raised him. There were days that I would come home and Sean had not been a good kid in school. And she would tell me, now, Mom, I've already talked to Sean, so you can just don't, you know, yes, he got in trouble today, but I've taken care of it, so you don't have to worry about it. Which I think at times she kind of forgot that I was the mom. And then there's been a couple of embarrassing times. Well, not a couple, one.
So time out. You're telling me I got in trouble as a kid in school occasionally?
Oh, you know what? The best thing that happened to you was junior high and going into organized sports. Up until you had organized sports in school, yeah, you were a pain.
No, that's really, you weren't not the what same I was hoping person. To hear out of this story, but well, let's talk about then. So tell me about a few times maybe that I got in trouble as a kid.
I think this is probably one of your favorites. I'm at work and I get a phone call from Sean's fourth grade teacher. And she told me that she didn't want Sean to know that she had called me, but she was really concerned because that, and I think they still do stuff like this. When the kids are good, they'll have like a jar on their desk when they fill it up with marbles and they get a surprise or whatever. And so the kids had been good that whole week. So she decided she was going to reward them for it. So she told me that she had bought Almond Joy little candies. And when she gave Sean his, he just took it and shoved it. And she just looked at him and he said, I can't eat that. And she's like, what do you mean? And he said, I'm allergic to coconut. And she thought, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Is he real? You know, if he's allergic to coconut, I really need to worry about it. I have never been so embarrassed in my life. Allergic to coconut. I told her, no, he's not allergic to coconut, but I will take care of that problem when I get home. So I came home that day and I wasn't the type of parent. A lot of kids, they get rewarded. Oh, you get $5 for making an A or whatever. Grades were, you had to make good grades. And I didn't believe in rewarding them to maybe after school's over or the semester or whatever. So I came home that day and I told him, I said, you know what, Sean, I am so proud of you. You've been so good this week that I decided on the way home today, I was going to get you something. And oh my gosh, he was so excited. So I pulled out of this bag that I bought him a whole bag of Almond Joys. And I thought he was going to have a heart attack. He looked at me and went, Miss Schultz called you, didn't she? So guess what? To this day, we still tease him about coconut, him being allergic to coconut.
I mean, just in my defense, I don't think I've ever like formally been tested to see if I'm allergic to coconut. Well, I mean, there could still be a chance that the story is true.
One of your favorite Girl Scout cookies is the coconut cookie.
I don't know. It's probably such a light amount of coconut in it that it's really, it's still irrelevant. I mean, there still is a small chance that I could be allergic to coconut. We should probably get tested just to make sure.
Maybe so.
I could I could have been an early adopter. Like people have peanut allergies and things like that. I mean, I just had a coconut allergy at an early age.
I have another story.
Oh, God.
That this one I think you're proud of the most.
Oh boy.
In the neighborhood, we lived in a cul-de-sac, and all the kids there played out in the street there. They'd play dodgeball or football, whatever. They were outside all the time. But our neighbor, I don't know what poor Ben did, but he did something to irritate Sean. So Sean decided that he was going to hurt Ben. And I won't say how he hurt him, but I found out about it. And back in the day, that's when they wore the Michael Jackson red parachute pants.
Oh, good gosh.
And Sean had his parachute pants on. Well, when I found out what he did, I called him in the house. Naturally, it was Sean Christopher. Come in the house.
Sean Christopher.
Sean Christopher, this house.
Is that how I knew that I was in trouble?
You knew you were
in
trouble. You did not want to come in. So you come in the door, and I'm like, I can't believe you did what you did. Now, bend over. I made him bend over, and I busted his rear end. And he looked at me and went, "That hurt." Excuse me? Is it not supposed to hurt? So what did he do? He told me, next time you decide you're going to do that, you let me know so I won't have these parachute pants on because they made it sting. So so we always tease Sean about the parachute, Michael Jackson's parachute pants.
So the moral of the story is if you're going to get in trouble, don't have parachute pants on if you're going to do it.
Yeah, I think that's the only time you really got a good spanking. And from that day on, you've always told everybody that when I walked in the door, if Mom was standing there, I had to put my hand behind my tail end to cover it up because she would beat me every time I walked in the door.
That was only if I heard my middle name, though. I mean, that's how I knew I was in trouble. I mean, you know, some people whistle to tell you to come home, or, you know, they tell you five times to come in the house. I always knew that if I heard my middle name, that I had either done something wrong or she was tired of calling me to tell me to come into the house.
Well, if I didn't call you the middle name, I could have always used the claw on you when you walked in the door.
Oh, good gosh. I should probably tell a story about the claw.
Because yeah, I don't think it was so bad.
So, I mean, obviously, I mean, I grew up in a household where my mom believed in discipline, which, you know, is probably a good thing. At least in my opinion, I still think, you know, discipline is a good thing. But, you know, as a kid, you do crazy things and, you know, you go to the malls or the grocery stores and you're kind of goofing around as a kid because you're bored. I mean, the last thing I want to do is shop. I mean, I still get bored as an adult wandering around with my wife and can, you know, in stores. And so, you know, I would obviously be a little bit mischievous from time to time. And my mom would grow her fingernails out. And maybe she believed in pedicures before they were popular. I don't know if pedicures were popular back then.
Manicures.
Thank you, hands. And so she would always call me and try to get me to get, you know, next to her and get over here. And I wouldn't listen. And finally, when I would get close enough, she would grab me right behind the back of your arm where your tricep is located. And she would dig those fingernails into my tricep and, you know, always whisper, obviously whispering in my ear, "Sean Christopher, you better get yourself under control." And then so when she would do it, I would drop to the floor and she would want me to get up. I'm like, get up. What's wrong with you? I'm like, I can't move. I mean, you've hit like a nerve that knocks you to the ground. And so I always called it the claw growing up. She found some nerve that existed in the back of your tricep that would literally make your legs not work. So I appreciate that.
Oh my gosh.
Let's switch gears a little bit because
we could go on forever.
You're starting to tell too many embarrassing stories. I guess let's talk about, we talked a lot about childhood and the mischievous things that I've done and even some of the really cool clothes that I wore, because I don't care what you said, the parachute pants and the Michael Jackson jackets back in the day, those were awesome. And I can promise you, just like I've told Peyton many times, mullets will come back. Just like, you know, parachute pants and all of those things are going to make a return visit someday. But let's talk about a time when you probably worried about me the most. When you think about the 46 years that I've been alive and you've been my mother, when was a time that you were truly just concerned about me on whether or not I was going to end up in prison or end up in a child home where they make sure that mischievous kids, you know, learn how to behave?
That would be your teenage years.
Well, let's talk about my teenage years then. So what,
I worried about you any time you went anywhere with your best friend, Mike. Mike was always an accident waiting to happen. He could get in trouble over anything and everything. And when he would get in trouble, Sean would be with him.
And you're talking about Sledge,
yes,
who is probably...
Well, I didn't know if you wanted me to say his last name.
No, he won't care. He probably still tries to get in trouble.
Mike was an interesting kid. Sean would be at football on Saturdays, and Mike would have D-Hall. And I would be sitting in the house, and all of a sudden, Mike would come walking in the door. Doesn't say hello or nothing. He goes straight to Sean's room, changes clothes, gets a shirt of Sean's, and goes back out the door. And you just never knew. You never knew what Mike was going to do. But he's an awesome kid. There'll always be kids to me. And Tim Witt, Tim, Sean, and Mike, they will be best friends forever and ever. And it's just, it's awesome. The other thing I always worried about with him, and I think that's any mother, I think you don't worry about your daughter. I didn't as much as I did my son. Because when it comes time to dating and all that fun stuff, then you worry. Sean's goal was, I don't mind saying it, he was a very good athlete. He played football, he ran track, and he played baseball the whole 4 years that he was in high school. And thank goodness baseball ended up paying the majority of his college education. So we always knew that his goal was to get a scholarship. So anytime he walked out that door, you always worry, because you can give a scholarship, but they can take it away from you just as fast as they can give it to you. So I think besides that, I didn't worry that much. We're a very close family, and we really don't keep a lot from each other. We sit and we talk about things, and we get in trouble, and we talk it out. And I think I'm very lucky. A lot of people go through a lot more than I ever went through with you. So I'm very proud of you.
Well, so you said it a little while ago, and I guess I would have you elaborate a little bit on that. So I would agree that as a kid, my sister used to tease me because I listened to, you know, like Rat and Twisted Sister and all of this heavy metal music growing up. I had a sweet mullet with, sides of my head shaved.
And I cut your hair.
Yeah, see, I mean, she made me. She probably bought me the parachute pants, too.
I'm sure I did.
I probably didn't want to wear them. But I certainly understand, you know, growing up, you know, kids are mischievous, and we like to push the limits of how far you can go without getting in trouble. But you said it a little bit earlier, but elaborate a little bit on that. When was the turning point, and when did I kind of stop becoming that mischievous person that that you weren't so much worried about me getting in trouble anymore? You know, what was it that kept me out of trouble?
I would say that junior high was okay. Junior high and high school, the thing that helped me with Sean the most was organized sports, because I, like he had said earlier, I wasn't that easy. I was rough on both of them, and I know it was because, and I would always tell them this, you know, with me being a single mom, if anything was to happen, you know, him get into trouble or whatever, I couldn't afford to get him out. So it was just really a big deal. And then I was real tough on them when it came to grades, but I was lucky because my daughter and my son were very good students. And so, but Sean was a little lazy when it came to school. His sister always had the goal of being in the top 10 of her class. And Sean, that didn't mean that much to him, but you know, nowadays you have to pass to play. So I always felt like I had to have something to hold over his head. And if you take away sports, playing, and all that kind of stuff, if you take that away from him, that child is miserable. So I always had a rule that you had to do more than just pass to play. If he made, and I think I was pretty lenient when it came to that, if he made below an 80, if he got a grade below an 80 in anything, then I would pull him from the sport. And then he would have to tell his teammates that the reason he wasn't running or the reason he wasn't playing wasn't because he was failing a class. It was because his mom wouldn't let him. And he kind of tested me at times when it came to taking a foreign language, and there he would get close. But then the coaches would always tell me, they would say, "Miss Alvarez, really, you're not going to pull Sean from playing if he makes below an 80. And I said, "Oh, yes, I will. It's the rule. And I can't let it be a rule and then not have him abide by what the rules were."
So you're saying I got close?
You got close in Spanish, and you even told your teacher, "You don't understand. I have to make an 80 or above, or my mom is not going to let me play." That was the turning point. Athletics was so important to him. And you did. You made good grades. You were a very good student, and it got you in a good college. So
I remember Mr. Cisneros. So I remember that, yes. Spanish class. That was very difficult.
He was tough.
He was tough. But, you know, I'm fluent in Spanish today because of that. I mean, I'll wrap up the whole entire podcast today in Spanish, just
yeah,
so
right.
Everybody understands how fluent I am. So basically you're saying sports was kind of the turning point, right? That's what kept me out of trouble.
Right.
My goal obviously was to play sports at a high level. And if you didn't have the grades to do it, or if you had a poor background check, when you're being recruited, obviously those things are frowned upon.
Well, and you can be good, but if you don't make the grade, colleges nowadays, there's too many other good athletes out there. So you've got to have more than just the ability to play well. At least I feel that way when it comes to A&M.
So one of the questions that I'd want to ask you, and I'm completely putting you on the spot on this one. Mm-hmm. Are there any rules that I broke growing up that I thought I was getting away with that you knew about? I mean, curfews, I don't think I was really a night owl or anything like
that. No, back when Sean, I guess, was right when he first started driving, I had a big problem with panic attacks. And I evidently had that problem for a long time and had some big time panic attacks with Sean. And thank goodness Sean helped me through it. His sister would get angry. I mean, I couldn't get in an elevator. I couldn't ride in an airplane. When I drove to work, I would always have to make sure that I could get out. I couldn't stand being confined, claustrophobic or whatever. And Sean was my lifesaver. But the medication that they put me on, they also had me, I would work on routines, and they had a tape that they would always play for your family so that your family can understand what you're going through. And one of the medications that I had to take, the doctor had told me it would cause short-term memory loss. So the minute Sean heard that, he used that one big time. He would go, I can remember he would go and spend the night with a friend of his, and then I'm concerned all night, worried about him, like he hasn't made it home. Where is he? What's the problem? And then when he would come home, then I would get all upset, and he would tell me, but Mom, I told you that I was going to be at Jason's. You just don't remember. So I guess that's one of the biggest things, that he would always think he could get away with it. But that was rough. But he would talk me through a lot of those panic attacks. And we were in a car wash one time. We had gone to look, he was starting to drive, and we had gone to look to buy him a vehicle. And the minute we went in that car wash, I had a horrible panic attack, literally trying to climb out of that vehicle in the car wash. And Sean talked me through it, and he was always there for me when that would happen. So I depended on him quite a bit myself. So I guess, yeah.
A funny story that you bring up that car too, because I can tell a great story about that car. That's the first car that I ever got, was a Ford Bronco II. And I'll never forget the story, you know, back in the day, and, you know, everybody puts speakers in their car because you want to, you know, let everybody else outside of your car hear the music you're listening to. And so Sledge, the friend that she's referring to that I always got in trouble with, we were putting speakers in that car one day. And after we finished putting speakers in that car, why don't you tell the rest of the story with what happened there?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Sean, I mean, even Mike's dad was with them. So, I mean, they're a great family, and they were just very close. And we really never worried about much. But anyway, once they did that, then Sean takes off and he's driving, and they lived in an area that there weren't a lot of houses at that time. They were all brand new houses, and they had this big field behind their house. So Sean, they drove down there, and then all of a sudden he is surrounded by patrol cars, sheriffs, police, you name it, like six or eight. And they went up to the vehicle and literally pulled Sean out of that vehicle. And they were
guns drawn on him and everything.
They handcuffed him. And thank goodness Mike's dad, I don't know if Mike ran home and got his dad, or
Mike was with me. He was in the car.
Steven comes up there, and someone had reported that vehicle is stolen. So they thought Sean had stolen the car. And then I get a phone call from knowing that Sean is spending the night with Mike, I get a phone call from the police station that they have my son, and I needed to show proof of ownership of the vehicle. Either that, or they were going to put him in jail. I mean, that was horrible, horrible.
So obviously, long story short, this car had been repossessed and it was reported stolen at the time. But that was probably the closest I ever came to getting arrested and thrown in jail. It was an interesting experience as a 16-year-old kid. I always thought that was funny. It's funny now to talk about it. It wasn't funny at the time.
But you know what? It may in some ways have helped you, you know, in staying out of trouble, because you knew what it felt like to be handcuffed and thrown to the ground. And thank goodness we lived in a small town, and we knew a lot of people, because they did not throw Sean in jail. They let him go home, and then I had to prove ownership of the vehicle, which you can ask any police officer or whatever. Not many people, they would say, okay, we'll let you go, even though we think this vehicle is stolen. Just show us proof of ownership, and we'll let you go home. So
let's get this straight. Obviously, I wore really cool clothes back in the day with parachute pants. I'm allergic to coconut, and now I'm a car thief. This is really going the way that I was.
And you made it to college.
I did make it to college, believe it or not, and finished it. Unbelievable. Well, so let's talk about, you know, a couple of other things. Growing up with a sister 2.5 years apart, although we are very different from the standpoint of she's a book smart individual that has done very well for herself. I was more of the dumb jock, right? That just...
You weren't a dumb jock. They were both honor students, so...
And so I guess, you know, the question that still looms out there and the thing that we all really need to know, and I'm assuming the GBC family probably knows the answer to this question. And I'm sure if we took a poll, you know, they would probably tell us what it, you know, what the right answer would be. But, you know, I've only been asking you this question for 40 years and I'm someday going to get the answer to this. So why don't you go ahead and just publicly tell the GBC family, and then I can basically relay this to my sister finally. So who is the favorite child?
Oh my God.
Out of the two of us, you know, you've got to come clean. You know, I've allowed you to share some very personal stories about me today, but go ahead and come clean and tell everybody who your favorite child is.
Well, you know, if they'd have asked me stories like this about your sister, I wouldn't have been able to do it because she didn't get into trouble and she made the grades and, you know.
So it would have been a boring interview.
It would have been, been a little boring. But, yeah, I don't know how Sean does it, but every year, either Mother's Day or birthday or whatever, he seems to find a card that says, from your favorite child. And the two of them, all their lives, have always said, I'm mom's favorite. And so my comment to them would always be, you're my favorite son, and she's my favorite daughter. And even it's not funny, but it is funny. I was in the hospital not too long ago with a problem I was there 4 days or whatever. And when you fill out all the paperwork to get in, you know, for the hospital, I've always, anytime it comes to who to notify or whatever, I always put Tracy first and Sean second, because Tracy was born first and Sean was born second. Well, somehow the nurses were in, they were in my room and they were standing in there and they come in and said, we need to verify, you know, that if anything happens, that we're to notify your son, Sean, first. Oh my gosh. The two of them were like, oh my gosh. And Sean just constantly throws us up to the sister. See, she listed me first. She did it first. I said, I did not do that. And I find out the next day, I was sharing a room with another lady and the nurses came in and they said, we just love it when your son and your daughter are here, because we were on the other side of the curtain when they brought up who to notify first. And when your son said he was the favorite, we could not help but stand over there and just laugh listening to the two of them. So now they have a thing that they have decided that, this sounds really yucky, but that when I pass away, I'm to leave in my will who my favorite child is, so that they will find out for sure which one of them is the favorite. So I've got to figure out a way that I may be gone, but it'll still be funny to them, because I've always said it's 50-50. So I've got to figure out a way to let him know that my favorite children are Peyton and Jacob.
Oh, good gosh. That's a cop out. You can't go to grandkids. That's not fair.
They have shirts made for each other. I'm mom's favorite. Or she gave him some kind of coffee mug not too long ago. That.
Yeah, I broke that coffee mug. That's, we're not going to keep that. Well, so that's great. I mean, obviously one day we will find out. Hopefully it's not anytime soon, unless you would just, again, like to tell everybody. I try to give my mother every opportunity anytime we're around friends and family and people that are close to us, so she can go ahead and break the news. But apparently she's not going to do that again today.
Nope, so she's always going to have to wonder.
We'll move on. But it's like they said, you know, when she was in the hospital, they say people, you know, as people are sick, they're more honest. Or when people are drunk, they're more honest. And so,
well, I'm always the sick one because I'm not the drunk one.
We'll just have to give you a few drinks and see if you can share that favorite moment with us all. So Mom, you know, with this being a podcast around Mother's Day and us taking a moment to thank all of the mothers out there, is there anything special that we do every year that makes Mother's Day, you know, just a special time for you?
We as a family and in-laws, and we're just one really large family. Every year we go camping, and my daughter-in-law's parents, they lost their daughter, Christy's older sister. They lost her due to cancer, and it was right before Mother's Day. So Mother's Day is really, really important to all of us. So we try to make sure that we're together and keep Christy's mom occupied and talk about Carolyn, and we have a blast. We just have a really good time camping and bonfires, and it's a lot of fun. And we try to always be together on Mother's Day. We're always together on holidays, and that's one thing I've always insisted on, is no matter what, even being a divorced parent, his dad never had the opportunity to have him on Christmas or Thanksgiving or anything like that. He's mine when it comes to holidays, so I don't share him then.
I guess let me ask this question before I bring some of this to a close. So maybe turning it more to the sentimental side of things.
You're gonna make me cry.
Make fun of me now, but so do you have kind of a moment that maybe I made you the most proud?
There's a couple of moments. Watching you walk across that stage at A&M getting your degree, I was just beaming. Of course, I'd always lectured y'all your whole life that just because you get out of high school and your senior year, you're not finished till you get your college degree. I was very, very, very proud. I'm also very proud. He's going to make me cry now. I'm so proud of the man that you have become. And he's an awesome father, husband. He's just working at GVEC. I mean, GVEC is just like a big family to them. And he's done so well there from the bottom up. I'm extremely proud of him.
You didn't think the guy who stole a car wearing parachute pants and...
No, he learned some good lessons.
he grew up along the way. Well, I appreciate that. And I'll try not to get emotional. but obviously, as a divorced parent at a very young age and raising two kids, you know, you obviously taught my sister and I some very, very valid and strong life lessons. And I think that, you know, her and I talk about this a lot. You know, you created who we have become based upon just watching. And, you know, they talk about leadership a lot of times. And leadership is not always what you say. And you don't have to be an eloquent speaker. It's more about watching people's actions. The one thing that I absolutely know and has made me who I am is just watching you. Watching your commitment to your family and how much you love your children and how much you love your grandchildren, how much you love your daughter-in-law and how much you love her family and the people around you. Those are the things that, you know, kind of help develop people, is watching individuals' actions. And so your commitment and love for family, but not only that, recognizing that you had to provide. I mean, your hard work and dedication and committing yourself to two jobs if you have to try to make ends meet. And you're right. We didn't have a lot growing up, but you know what? We were all still happy and still had fun and did everything that we could, to just enjoy the time that we had together. And so being that type of role model, I think, has really helped, my sister and I become who we are, even if it wasn't pleasant for you, you know, at the time. I mean, I'm sure I caused some sleepless nights for you or caused some stress with some of the stupid things that we all do as children and kids growing up. But there is no doubt in my mind that the sacrifice that you made with your life and your goals and your aspirations in order to grow and develop my sister and I is all a testament to to you as a mother and how much a mother cares about their kids. And so for that, I thank you for sacrificing so much for me and for your daughter, the second favorite child. And obviously without that, we wouldn't be who we are today. And there is nothing and there's not enough that I can do in this world to show my appreciation for you as my mother. And someone who has absolutely worked so hard and dedicated their lives to raising their children. I think that you are certainly a role model for mothers out there. And I hope, others get to kind of see that and hear that in our conversations.
I love you more than you would ever know.
It's not until you have kids of your own. And mm-hmm. I've said this, to a number of people who are either parents or expecting parents, you cannot realize how much you can love something until you have a child. And I certainly understand that, having a child of my own now. So again, I certainly appreciate the time that you've taken with us today. Well, thank you, Mom, for being our guest today on the GVC podcast and sharing probably a little bit more about me than I really would have preferred you do. I'll probably be hearing a lot about this, I'm sure, at work for some time. So for that, I appreciate that.
It's been fun. And I will tell you my next goal is, because I know you at GVC, y'all have something each year where you dress up as whatever. Gosh. I'm going to find you some red parachute pants somewhere that you can wear to the next GVC function.
So you're saying I can see a Michael Jackson skit coming in my future?
Yeah, you can do Thriller.
Well, that sounds riveting. If you enjoyed listening to this episode or have any ideas of how we can make this podcast more interesting to you, email gvecunplugged@gvec.org with your feedback. Be sure to subscribe to GVC Unplugged Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Overcast to be notified when new episodes are released. Take care of each other, GVC team, and stay safe until next time.